Okay, tonight we're going to be looking at verses 10 to 13 of Proverbs chapter 4. Jim and Jen were on a hike in the bush. And at first the path was very easy to follow. And, most of us have probably been on hikes in the bush before. The path was pretty easy to follow, they could see that. But then they came to a fork in the road. And they had to make a decision. They weren't prepared for that. Here's this fork in the road. Which way are we going to go? The path goes to the right, path goes to the left. I don't know. They finally decided to go to the right. They followed the path to the right, and as they walked, the path got less and less distinct and less clear. And finally, they got to the point where they couldn't even hardly see the path, and they thought, you know, we better turn around before we are in trouble. They turned around and tried in vain and could not find the path. They were lost. That's a terrible feeling, to be lost. I don't think I've ever been seriously lost or in danger of my life, but there's been a few times I've been turned around and wasn't sure where I was. But that's a terrible feeling. And you know, God tells us in the scriptures that we need to follow the right path in life. If we follow the wrong path, we could get lost and get ourselves into big trouble. And he's telling us here in these verses we're looking at here tonight, verses 10 to 13, about the right path. And we see here in verse number 10, let me just read the verses and then we'll go back over them in detail. Verse number 10 says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Now, as we look at these passages here tonight, there's several things I want us to notice. And that are that God has given us several insights about the paths, the right paths to take in life. And he addresses the first insight to parents. All right? So I want to go through this section here looking at it from a parent's perspective, or God's instruction to a parent. And the Lord had Solomon mention four things that parents must teach their children or do for their children before they leave home. You know, that's very important, and we've got to teach the children before they leave home. First of all, he says parents must communicate words. Verse number 10, he says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings." My sayings. The word sayings there is the word that refers to comments or counsel or promises or commands. And so he says, I want you to hear my commands, my sayings, my promises, the things that I have to teach you. You know, in general, parents' sayings are their daily conversations. Their daily conversations. And there's no substitution for good communication with our children. And yet that's a hard thing. I look back and I can see that there were times I didn't have the greatest communication with my boys. I mean, we got along, but as far as really communicating, you needed to open enough communication so that when you got a burden on your heart, the first one you run to is mom or dad to pour out your heart. That's what we need. And yet, that takes work to build that kind of a relationship so that that is a desire from the heart of the child to want to run to mom and dad, because if they don't run to mom and dad, they're going to run to somebody else for their information, and that usually doesn't help them. When our children say silly things, or ask foolish questions, or even say why, as long as it's not done in a rebellious way, we need to give them instruction. We need to give them some answers. And we must respond prayerfully. You know, it's those times when they're asking those silly questions, especially when they're real little, they're asking all these dumb questions, you know, little kids do. And you think, oh, I don't have time to be answering all these silly questions. But they need that, because even when they're little, we're building a relationship with them and letting them know mom and dad care. And you can ask any of your silly questions you want, and I'm not going to turn you away. I'm not going to make fun of you. Remember the verse there in James, where James says that God will not laugh at us? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He says he won't laugh at us. And that's what our children need. They need to know that I can talk to mom and dad about anything, and they're not going to laugh at me, they're not going to scorn me, they're not going to embarrass me, they're not going to shame me. They're going to listen. And that's what we need to build. But it takes work and it takes effort to build that kind of a relationship with our children. And so this is something when he says that, Solomon says to his son, I want you to hear my sayings. He was building that communication there. He says, I want us to have a good communication. You know, if they do not sense this openness, what are they going to do? They're going to seek information from their peers. And you know, young people do that all the time. I remember as a child, there were times that I had questions. And I didn't feel comfortable always asking mom and dad. And so I'd find somebody else to ask. And usually the answers that they gave me weren't as straight as they should be or could be. And that's not a good thing. We need to be so comfortable for them so that they naturally want to come to us and ask their questions. Can you think of any king in the Bible that didn't turn to good advice when he needed help? Rehoboam, remember? Solomon's son. Of all people, Solomon's son Rehoboam, when it came time for him to make some major decisions and the people of the nation said, listen, you're going to be the king now. We want you to back off a little bit. Solomon was really hard on us. Lighten up a bit and we'll serve you faithfully. And he said, give me some time to think about it. And what did he do? He went and talked to his dad's friends and got advice from them. And they said, the people are right. You need to lighten up a bit. Dad was a little harder than he should have been. Lighten up a bit and all will be well. And then he went and talked to his peers. And his peers said, forget it. Tell him we're going to toughen it up. It's not going to get lighter. It's going to be worse than it was when Dad was. I'm strong. I'm going to do it. And then he listened to his peers. And what did it do? It destroyed the nation. Split the nation right down the middle. And, well, not down the middle. He only got 2 parts. 10 parts fled from him. Because he would not do what is right. And he didn't listen to the right counsel. So, listen, communication is extremely important. Then parents must teach wisdom. Look at verse number 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. The word teach there is an interesting word. It literally means to throw. It means to shoot an arrow. The idea here is I've shot you in the right direction. Not in shooting at them, but they were the arrow. And I've shot you in the right direction. I've given you the direction and the right way to go. I've taught you the way to go. I've given you insight and direction in life. You know, our children need to know that we've been down that road before. And we know what's at the end of the road. And we know that this isn't the way to go. You don't want to go that way. This is the right way. This will get you a lot better off in life than if you go this direction. And we shoot them down the right direction because of our experience. And so we need to lead them and guide them. Solomon taught his son wisdom. Obviously, you cannot teach something you don't understand. We can't. You know, there's many things that if you were to ask me to explain them to you, I'd say, I don't have a clue. I don't understand that. It's beyond me. I don't. But you know, if you ask me something that I do understand, then I can explain it. And it's true of all of us. We can only explain what we know. So the wisdom. Solomon was going to teach his son wisdom, and you have to have wisdom in order to get wisdom. Last week we talked about wisdom a lot. And if you missed that, I encourage you to watch that or listen to that message from last week. But parents also, not only do they need to teach wisdom, but they need to exemplify leadership. We see this again in verse 11. He says, I have led thee in right paths. I have led thee in right paths. He said, I have not just told you the way to go, not just shoot you in the right direction, I've actually led you there. I've gone before you, said, come on, hold my hand, I'll lead you in the right way. This is the way to go. And he's led him down the right path. And to lead is to exemplify leadership, to lead by example and inspire others to follow. That's leadership. Now you stop and think about it. I remember in high school, we had a gym teacher that used to really kind of irritate me. He'd sit in his chair, you know, we'd be in the gymnasium, maybe it's in the wintertime, and we're in the gymnasium for our gym class, and he's having us do a workout. And he's sitting back in his chair, sipping on his coffee. Come on, guys, get down there and do your push-ups. Now, come on, you can do more than that. Let's go do 10 more, you know. And I'm thinking, get off of your chair and come down here and show us how to do it, you know. But he never did that. But he wasn't leading us by example. He was leading us by his mouth. And, you know, as parents, there's a great temptation to lead by our mouth and not by our example, because it's easier. But it's important that our children see the example they're to follow, that we can follow their examples and do right. Then parents need to also give instruction. Look at verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Take fast hold of instruction. You know, Solomon's saying here, son, you need to take fast hold of my instruction. Now, you look up that word instruction, and you're going to find that that word means chastening, reproof, warning, and restraints. It's not just, you know, we're going to talk about the ABCs or math or something else. It's not that kind of instruction in a basic sense. He's saying here, I want you to understand some things, and here's some warnings. Do not go that way. That will get you into trouble. Don't do that. That'll hurt you. Don't do that. And because you did that, you're going to have to be punished for that, because I'm not going to let you do that, because that will hurt you. And I love you too much to let you go that way. This is the instruction he's talking about here. All right? And he says you need to learn from that instruction. And while it's not enjoyable for either the parents or the children, it's essential. You know, sometimes children might think, oh, you don't feel the hurt of this. I do. It's just fun for you. It's not fun for parents. And every parent that's disciplined their children, they don't go away saying, oh, that was so much fun. No, that's not fun. It's torture. Because it hurts the parent's heart. And it's difficult. But it's the needful thing. It's the right thing to do. And so we need to take that into consideration. Because he says here that without biblical instruction, parents' words and teachings and leadership will have minimal effect. If there's not force behind it. There's got to be discipline behind it. There's got to be warning behind it. Because we just say, all right, let's all be good today. That's not going to work. They're going to be their sinful old nature. Because we read there in the scripture, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 17:9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then there in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction shall drive him far from him. So there, we've got to work on them, because they're naturally, as we were, sinful people. And we need to work to help them. So we see here, first of all, the instruction, the insights that God gives to parents. But then secondly, we want us to look at the insights God gives to children. God asks the, he had Solomon here address the children's duties while at home. You know, once the children leave home, parents really don't have a whole lot of influence over them anymore. They're on their own. But while they're home, we've got those 18, 20 years to work on their lives. And he says here in verse number 10, hear, the very first word. It's a command. And he says, hear, hear, you need to listen. And the word doesn't mean just to open your ears. It means to hear with obedience. Hear and do what you're told to do. And that's an important thing for children to learn, is to hear with obedience, to hear that command and do what they're told to do. Then he goes on and he says the children must receive. Again, there in verse number 10, hear my son and receive my sayings. To receive. The idea here is to take to the heart. Take it into your heart. Not just understand what was said, but take it on board and say, this is what's right. I'm going to do that. That's what I need to do. It's accepting the parents' information as correct and accepting it and saying, that's what I need. So it's taking it. He says, receive it. Receive it to yourself. Perhaps you've heard of the little boy. The father was having trouble with this rebellious little boy, and he didn't want to obey. And the father said, son, I want you to sit down in that chair right there. Now sit down. And he grumbly, grudgingly sat down in the chair. A moment later he says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And that's a lot of times what happens to children. You know, they may conform, but we've got to reach their heart. And God says it has to get down to your heart. You need to receive it. It's not just enough to have it on the outside. It's got to be on the inside. And reaching the children's heart is not easy. It's not easy. And so we need to strive to that end. Now, children must then also take fast hold of the instruction. Look down there in verse number 13. He says, take fast hold of instruction. Now, this phrase here, take fast hold, it literally means to hang on tight. Grab it and hang on tight. Don't let it go. Retain it. Hold it tightly. We talked about the instructions, this instruction in the and warnings of, and restraints from the parents and how they need to implement this. But now God says, I want you children to hold on tight. Don't let go. You know, the sooner we learn to hold on to the warnings tightly and heed them, the more enjoyable life will be. That is true for all of us. You know, when there's a warning that says you need to do this, don't do this, follow this, and the sooner we grab on that and say, yes, that's right, and we accept it, the happier we're going to be. Because it's always a pain to try to buck what we're supposed to do. But then he goes on, he says, children, they need to not let instruction go. Later on in verse number 13, he says, let her not go. Do not let go. He's talking about instruction here. These warnings. So dad has said, son, whatever you do, do not do this. And throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives us lots of examples. You know, going through the book of Proverbs is an absolutely excellent thing for families because it covers so many topics. And one of the big topics he covers again and again and again is the sexual temptations. And life is full of them. And he tells them very clearly, do not do this. Don't follow that kind of a woman. She's going to lead you the wrong direction. Don't be that kind of a woman. She's not the kind you want to emulate. And so he gives them very clear instructions, tells them exactly what's going to happen. He gives them strong warnings. And now Solomon's saying, all right, son, listen, you need to not let this go. Hold on this and don't let it go. Don't abandon it. Don't turn your back on it. Don't relax your diligence in this area. Do not forsake it. All of these are the idea of this idea of hanging on tightly and don't letting it go. God knows the weaknesses and tendencies of our sinful heart. And God says, hang on those warnings. Hang on them tightly. Don't let them go. Because if you do, they'll hurt you. Then one last thing, he says, children, you need to keep that instruction. Keep it. The word keep there is a word that means to guard, protect, and to guard it safely. You know, we put security doors on our houses and on our doors. We lock the doors. Why do we do that? Because we want the thief to stay outside and leave our stuff on the inside. Right? We need to protect what we have. And the same thing is true with our heart. God says, I want you to securely lock your heart. Don't let things into your heart that shouldn't be there. And he says, guard your heart because there's a lot of garbage that the devil wants to get into your heart. You need to guard it from our flesh. We need to guard it from our bad friends. We need to guard it from unbiblical philosophies. We need to guard it from the devil himself who's trying to get us to do wrong. And so there's a great danger of not guarding our heart. So he says, children, you need to keep this instruction. So then he's given us insights, first of all, to parents. Secondly, to the children. But thirdly, he gives us insights on the benefits if they do right. And that's a good thing to look at. You know, it's always hard to just take, do this, do this, do this. But now God says, well, if you do that, you're going to be benefited. And here's some of the benefits from them. And so God gives them several benefits for us to learn from. The Lord had Solomon include these benefits for the parents and for the children to understand this. First of all, obedient children will receive a long life. You know, it doesn't mean that they're going to all live to be 120, but they're going to have a long life. Notice verse number 10. He says, hear my, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You know, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin shorten our lives. We can all think of people that whose lives were shortened by sin. Drug addicts that accidentally, sometimes on purpose, take an overdose. shortens their life. They're gone. Others intentionally get sick of life because there's no hope out there and they commit suicide because of their sin. Life is shortened. Alcoholics, people that drink, they get in accidents that harm them, maybe kill them, or worse yet, kill others. And then they have to live with that the rest of their lives. It shortens life. So all these sinful things of life are destructive. Sexual diseases cause great damage and destruction to life as well. So and the list goes on and on and on. Of all the things that will happen in our lives, if we don't do right, it'll shorten our life and make life miserable. Obeying God's insights will enable us to live a full life that God has for us. Now, I don't know how long God has planned for you. I don't have how long He has planned for me. But we want to be able to live out the full extent of what He has given us as our days. You know, He teaches us there in Psalms. He says, teach us to number our days and we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So we need to number our days. We don't know how long those days are, but we need to say, Lord, I know I've got a limited number of days. I'm not going to live forever on this earth. So I've got a limited number of days, and my days are getting shorter all the time, and all of ours are. As we get older, we obviously have fewer days left. And so He says, we need to be wise, count those days, and realize that I better make wise use of what I got left. But you know how sad it is if we don't do right, and those numbers are shortened. God just says, all right, that's the way you're going to live. We'll knock 5 years off of there because of the way you're carrying on. And God can do that. And He probably has multitudes of times. And none of us really know because that's between God and them. But God tells us here that He will lengthen our days if we'll do right. Then also, He says that we will receive wisdom if we obey. We see down there in verse number 11, I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. You know, in the verses we looked at earlier, last week in verses 3 to 9, we saw there how God promises wisdom and how He'll give us wisdom if we will do what we are told to do and we'll seek God's wisdom. You know, we need that wisdom from God in order to live a happy, full life. And that ability to make right choices in life is very, very critical. And that's why Solomon said, son, this is more important than anything else. This is a priority. You need to put this very first in your life. You need to get wisdom. You need to get wisdom. So He's made that very clear to us in the text before us last week. And if we follow these teachings, He says that if you follow these, you'll get wisdom and it'll help you in your life. Then He goes on and He talks about if we obey, we'll be able to go down the right paths. Verse 11 again, I've led thee in right paths. I've led thee in right paths. You know, some paths are so seldom traveled that they're hard to detect. But the path that Solomon's talking about here is very interesting. The word literally means a trench. You know, if you ever, I remember, it's more vivid in my mind in Papua New Guinea than anywhere else. But as a child growing up in the country, we had dirt roads. And 3/4 of the year, they were pretty smooth. But in the springtime, they would soften up. After the freezes would go, the frost would get out of the ground, they'd soften up, and there would be ruts in the road, and you're driving along, all of a sudden there's a big hole, and sometimes there'd actually be ruts where you'd kind of, if you got in that rut, you couldn't get out of it, you're stuck in it, and then when the sun comes down and it dries it out, then the ruts are really stuck in the ground. But in Papua New Guinea, oh boy, the roads there, unbelievable. I remember one time, my coworker and I were going back into this one village, and it was quite a remote place. And in one of these kind of places where, you know, you need to hang on your false teeth or you won't have any when you get done. And he's driving along. He says, all right, hang on. And we see the ruts ahead of us, and it's full of water, and there's water and ruts, and they're so deep, they're all the way up to the axles on the vehicle. He's got his four-wheel drive, and we're just blazing through there, but you're following these ruts. You couldn't miss the road. It was obvious because there's been so many cars through there before and left all these ruts. That's the kind of road he's talking about here. He says, this is not a hard road to see. The right road is not only a road full of ruts, but it's a road full of righteousness. It's the right way. It will lead you the way to truth. It's the good way to go. And he says, I will teach you this way if you'll listen to me. I'll let you follow this. And I'll help you through this, but you've got to listen to me. You know, there's many paths in life that are not right. and they're leading people astray. And young people are so, so tempted by these things. Evolution is probably one of the biggest curses in our world today that is leading people off of the road, off of the rutted, good, right road to the paths off to the side, because obviously evolution's right and creation has to be wrong, because, you know, everybody knows that. And so they all follow that and they lead them astray down the roads of evolution. Or just as dangerous maybe is the children's rights that they are teaching them in school. I had one parent tell me that, you know, he says, I can't control my kids anymore. They go to the public school, and they've told them in the school that you've got rights, and your parents can't tell you what to do. And if they try to tell you what to do and you don't like it, just tell them, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. You're not going to tell me what to do. And if they try to discipline you, turn them in. I mean, that's the way kids are being taught. And that's what they're telling them. And it's no wonder. And they're following these side shoots off of the main road. They're off of the main road that's right. Oh, how we need to help them and encourage them and strengthen them. The devil's got so many ruts, so secret paths off of the main path that lead through pornography and sex outside of marriage and drugs and cigarettes and alcohol and all these things that are leading people astray. And the devil wants to ruin their lives. And so we need to make sure that we follow obediently the right paths that will lead us the right direction and help us to do what's right. Follow those well-rutted, right Bible paths that you've been taught, and that'll help us to be happy in life. The obedient children also will enjoy carefree steps. We see there in verse number 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. The word straitened there is an interesting word. It refers to the opposite of carefree, burdened, troubled. He says your steps will not be troubled and burdened if you do the right thing. You can have a carefree life if you'll just listen to what you're told and do what's right. Children don't have to go through all the hardships and burdens and trials because mom and dad are there to help them carry the weight. But when they don't listen, then they get themselves into messes that hurt and give them all kinds of heartaches. He says then, obedient children will gain stability. Again there in verse number 12. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. To stumble means to trip and fall. I'm sure all of us, one time or another, have tripped and fallen on our face. That's not a comfortable feeling. You're walking along, maybe at nighttime, you can't see, and all of a sudden you trip over something, and bang, you land on your face. And get all scraped up and say, whoa, that hurt. And it's not a fun thing. And you know, God says here, I want you to be stable. I want you to be able to be strong and stable and not to trip over things in life. I want you to be able to have a good life. And you need to follow what is right. And if you'll do what's right and obey, you can avoid some of these trips and falls in life. And the good paths will help you to be stable in life. But then lastly, obedient children will receive life. He ends up verse number 13 at the end. He says that, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. The instruction, that's your life. It'll help you. It'll lead you to life. You know, in more than one way, the warnings in this verse, if followed, will lead to a better physical life, but it'll also direct to an eternal spiritual life. The warnings will say, don't do that. That's the way that the devil wants you to go. It's going to hurt you. It's going to lead you astray. It's going to lead you to hell. Don't go that way. Go this way. This is the way that God wants you to go. Those warnings will help them to avoid the pitfalls in this life, but also to point them to the way of eternal life. And that's what they need. The insights give light and give life. And so, we've looked at several insights tonight about the right paths. Insights given to the parents is what they were to do for their children. Insights given to the children on how they need to obey what they've been told. And then the insight of the benefits that we'll all get if we'll do what's right. And that's a great truths that God has given to us to help us there. So I'd strongly encourage you to take these things to heart. Many of us are not in our children ages anymore. We're not, you know, are in our youth and living under home. But those who are, those who may be listening, would need to take that to heart, to follow these things. And those of us who have children that are still under our control or will have children under control, we need to take these things and cement them in our heart and work at these things and realize this is so very, very important, because we're losing a generation of young people today because these things are not part of their life. And we need to help others to see that this is so important for them as well.